Are you ready to be in the spotlight? Are you ready to share your story with the world? Well, Snails with No Shells is where you need to be. Available on all digital platforms, Facebook and YouTube. Snails with No Shells. Leave that shell at the door.
Where did we go wrong? We were doing so well.
Greetings, greetings, beautiful ones. I am Ms. BJ Martin, and this is Snails with No Shells. Leave that shell at the door. That's my only rule in this room. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I miss you so much. I know it's been a while, but I am back. I am back in the building, and I have an amazing guest joining me tonight. I'm just going to let him come on in. I'm excited. We have Jamar. Hey, Jamar. I requested a sound machine on the last live that I did, and somebody is getting me a sound machine. So now I'm going to have my ear. I'm going to have all my cheers and all that.
That's a nice introduction. It was a nice introduction. I like that. Leave your shell behind. I get that.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That's my only rule.
You're holding a lot of people back, don't it?
Yep.
Be great.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'll see you. See Jamar. He already know, y'all. He already know. I love it. Okay, so we're going to get into it. Jamar, where were you born and raised?
Chicago, 1975. In the inner city. In a blizzard. In a blizzard on my mother's birthday.
9/26.
I was born as a gift.
Wow, I love that. That's oh man, the spiritual meaning behind that. Have you like really like researched 9/26?
Yeah, my life.
Okay.
My life. That's my story. That's my number. So, yeah, my life. I research it. I had to go back and research it daily. That's the only way you're gonna grow.
That's right. I love that. Because I'm definitely into numbers. And you say you were born on your mom's birthday. That's deep. Oh my gosh. That is beautiful. I love that. I do.
I think I took a little too much to the head when I was a kid. I was a little spoiled, right? A little kid. Life had to humble me. And I respect it.
Yeah. We all go through our humblings, you know, different levels. But, you know, we learn our lessons, I hope, you know what I'm saying? So we don't have to go through that again, you know what I'm saying?
And we make sure we go through it so our kids don't have to go through it.
That's it. Absolutely.
Generational wealth right there.
That's right. So Jamar, what was it like? You said you was born, it was a blizzard. Chicago weather, oh my gosh. You have to actually have a Chicago coat for Chicago. Okay, I went out there for a funeral in the wintertime. I'm in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. I had an Atlanta coat.
Yeah.
No, sir. That hawk was on me so hard, I thought I was going to cry. I'm like,
Lee, your ears frostbitten. Your ears just frozen. You're like, what just bit me?
Man, I was so dysfunctional. I couldn't even get it together. I was like, this is crazy.
Yeah, I'm glad I grew up in it, you know? All four seasons got an attitude, you know. The summer angry, it's hot, it's just too hot. You know, the winter is cold, freezing, depressing. You know, the winter is like fall, you don't know what it's gonna be. Spring is bipolar, you know, all four seasons got attitudes. That's about the only thing really wrong with the shot, but I had to come to Cali to get some sunshine.
I know you're in Cali now. What part of Cali are you in now?
In Southern California, Orange County. Yeah.
Okay, so you know that song, It Never Rains in Southern.
Yeah. It doesn't rain that much, but every time it rains, you know that song just pop up.
This
year though, it's been raining a lot. It's been raining more than enough. Like today it snowed, hailed, and everything. And I don't think California ever seen that. So that's the times we living in.
Right. That's what I was asking you. Like, so that's real. You know, people put out stuff. So that's real. Like, it's snowing for real.
I thought it was rain. I thought it was hail till I really stepped out and said, damn, it's really snow. And it ain't. Well, the world we living in today is nothing surprising.
I'm telling you, hey, we need to get it together.
Yeah, you better start being aware.
Really? Yeah. Wake up, right?
Yeah.
It's time.
Sometimes don't slap you upside your head.
And you don't, man, I done been knocked upside my head. And it just,
No, everything is a sign now. I'm kind of over paranoid with signs.
No, don't be over paranoid.
You know, that's a sign. Don't go that way.
Right. So look, back to Chicago. What was it like growing up in Chicago?
Well, I mean, the culture is beautiful. Even the inner city culture, everything we grew up with. I mean, you got all different sides. You got the gangs. You also got the revolutionary side, you know, where people really wanted to come together, was fighting a system, you know. So it's an all coming together thing. And, you know, I grew up in the 90s, you know, where crack was very heavily touch, you know, my mom's was addicted, you know, I was the only child up till I was 15. So, you know, I wanted to play football, I had dreams, but, you know, the streets had first draft pick, you know, I had to enter the streets at a not too young of age because I was fighting it, you know, I had my imagination that kept me in the house because I always wanted to write books and make movies, but eventually I had to go out there. And that, by me having such a great imagination as a kid, the reality of life balanced it out for me. So I had to see it. So I have the reality and the imagination. And that's what made my writing so different.
And yes, ladies and gentlemen, he is an amazing author. We haven't quite got to that yet, but we're getting there. We're getting there. I'm excited. And Jamar has brought a couple of his books to show us. So yes, I am excited about that.
Yeah, at that time I had, you know, lost myself to the street. So I didn't think about coming back to writing. I didn't get back to writing until later on in life.
And so you said you, so did you actually join a gang?
I mean, joining a gang, I mean, the perception of that is like you join, you got to go rob, shoot, or get beat up and stuff.
Okay.
I kind of just chose it, you know, like it was like a fashion statement. Like we represented it, but we really wasn't really in tune with the bigger, nobody told us what to do type stuff, but we just held on. It was just a rebel in me because in Chicago, every five blocks is a different gang, you know, but it's a major gang, you know. So the gang I was in was not the gang, the neighborhood I was raised in. So it kept me to myself. And that's how, and I just brought my guys. And that was the difference. Like, and when I got into the gangs, it wasn't the violent part of it. It was the more the structure part. Like the family.
I was going to say you had the brotherhood of it. The camaraderie.
Because the opposition gang was close friends to us too. Like my best friend, I remember being on when we went to high school, we was both in different gangs and the school he went to was the majority of the gang I was in. And they was kind of jumping them. And I really couldn't help them. And I heard it like, why are we so separated like that? And all I can do is say, police coming, even though I'm lying, just to get them off of them. And it kind of affected me. And I was probably like 15 at the time. And it affected me like, damn, I couldn't even help my friend. Cause he's in a different gang, but we still the same. Like we still melanated people. So even going through that, I always had that substance in my mind, even selling drugs and everything. It always, even when I was a kid, I don't know where it came from, but it was just naturally there to know that this ain't right.
Okay. Those are beautiful thoughts, especially, you know, at such a young age. Right. And I like the way you're kind of breaking down the misconception of, you know, what we think gangs to be. You know what I'm saying?
Just to be there. It's a reason. It's a reason why people ain't just mentally ill that bad. We all mentally ill, but we all need something in this there. It's gravitation is promoted. And it wasn't supposed to be bad in the beginning. It became bad. It was structured to protect the neighborhood, but it became bad because of the system, because of our mentality. So the deep root of it wasn't meant for it to be bad. And every time in life, you need to grab onto the deep root. that's what makes you become a better person, even though what it may be, what it is. You got to make negativity into positivity regardless.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for that. I love that. I do. So you grew up in Chicago, some drugs, some gangs. What did you actually want to be when you grew up?
Oh, I wanted to play football. That's why I said the streets after the first draft pick. But
yeah,
it wasn't meant for me to do that. Like my first year of high school, like I played. And the next year, because of circumstances with my mother, she just had my baby sister, and she was on drugs. Mm-hmm. And she would just leave my sister with me. And days would go past. At first, I'd be like, ooh, I ain't got to go catch three buses in the cold to go to school. That's cool. You know, days would go past, and then weeks. And then I would get to the point where I would miss 10 days, and then you automatically flunked out. Once you automatically flunked out, you can't play football no more. Once you automatically flunked out, you damn near done with high school. So I got, so like on the eighth or ninth day, I just said, you know, I got to go to school. And I had a grandfather in the back. He's a big old guy. He don't do nothing much, you know. So I just took my baby sister and her baby chair, and I left on the table, like, and you watch. I didn't say nothing, but, you know, I put a bottle in there, you know. Well, I got to be the watcher. I'm just 15 years old. So right. I hop on the bus. I begged the bus driver, you know, for some fit, you know, let me on because I ain't got no fare. You know, go to school, beg my, eat off my friends, you know, asking them to open the back door when I leave school, you know, to get back on the bus, to get back home. Get home, and everybody mad at me, you know. They like my auntie and everybody like, why you leave your sister, you know. And at that time, that put me like, damn, what am I worth? And then after that, life just changed. Like my loss or playing football or anything else, school, whatever. All I wanted to do was be a gangbanger until I learned money. And that's just how my path landed.
Like, Wow. That's deep.
And it's the system. It's just a lot of sad stories out there. But at the end of the day, we got choices.
That's true.
Choices are over. From everything.
That's right. And we have to be accountable for our actions and stop. We can't keep pointing our fingers at other people. Even if they did something, it's after a while, it's not.
You got to be responsible for your life. You got to live it to the end. Anyway, whatever, they're not going to say, hey, they did. You can't say, he did this, he did this. No, you got to live your life. We talking about what you did.
Yeah.
You got to bounce back from every single one of those.
Mm-hmm.
But what it may be, if the system or whatever it may be, you still got to live your life and push forward.
Yeah. That's true. It's good stuff. Good stuff. I'm loving it. Loving it. Jamar. Oh, my gosh. I'm still feeling some kind of way because, you know, we all feel like we go through something. But you just never really know what people are going through. And then when you hear other people's story, which is why I'm here, so to make sure that people get a chance to tell their story, right? You hear people's stories and you're like, oh man, maybe I was tripping a little bit, you know, maybe I should have just appreciate, you know, what I had to deal with, right?
Empathy is a big thing, you know, and it's hard to have because we rather judge than have empathy. But if you listen, I mean, the world ain't the way it is just because it is. We all good people, positive people in some type of way, but we all go through things. This is what we're here for, the experience. So
And it's just easier to judge somebody else than it is to be like, again, be accountable for your own self and your own life.
It's all right. You read the Bible, Jesus said, don't throw them stones. What he said, don't throw that stone.
With that glass house. What's that?
You're better off using that stone on yourself instead of throwing it at somebody else. You better off hitting yourself upside the head, you'd come out a better person than throwing that stone at somebody else. Because if you throw 9 times out of 10, you're going to be wrong when you judge somebody because you never lived in their shoes. You don't know what elements of life have touched them. We all emotional creatures here. If we wasn't, we wouldn't feel nothing.
I believe that when we go through our certain experiences that kind of wake us up, you know, that we kind of stop the judging, you know, so much. Mm-hmm. We all go through our, yeah, I guess our butterfly stage. You know, we go through the cocoon. Yeah. We got to go through this process, right? And I think that once you come out of that on the other end, you don't judge so much anymore.
You I've been through some. I had to do some. Hold on, let me not look at them because, you know, life is tough.
Right, right. And you just, yeah, you have more empathy and just like, you know, someone might be like, oh, she, you know, she's a crackhead. Okay. Now my thing is, okay, but why? You know, why is she a crackhead? What happened? What made her, you know, even experiment with drugs? And it's always about it's a story behind everything. Okay. Everyone has a story, you know?
If she went through it, if you went what she went through, you never know. You probably came out a lot worse. Mm-hmm. Better, but you might have came out a lot worse too. It's still a 50-50 chance. You don't know. Mm-hmm. If you never been through her situation, you don't know how you would have been. It's better if you can't support it, and it's not really affecting you, like it's not stopping you from bettering your life or going on. So just be quiet about it and just move on. But if you can support it, then that's when you do something about it. But just judging it is only gonna bring you bad energy, and you don't want that, because you really only reason you judging because you don't want to look at your own reflection.
That's it. That's it. That's it. Mm. Whew, yeah, we ain't even that far in yet. And I love it. I knew this was gonna be a good interview. But and actually, look, I don't even call these interviews, Jamar. I actually just call these conversations.
Yeah, you know, that's what it is. Building blocks.
Right. I said you ain't interviewing for no job. This is just a conversation that we are both enjoying. I'm loving this. So, Jamar, you wind up getting locked up.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, a few times.
Okay.
I'm a rebellious. I keep trying. Like, I kept trying. Like, I didn't get it. I was hard headed. Even on my first time, they even told me, like, they said, we'll let you go. We'll give you probation and let you go. You just got to stay in this county one more month. I already been in there 5 months. Cook County is rough if you don't know about it. It's not a good living conditions. And I was like, nah, just send me to jail. Because if you give me probation, I'm going to go out there and sell drugs anyway, and you're going to lock me right back up. I'm going to go do jail time. This is how I'm thinking at 18, you know. I'm going to go get my GED. I'm going to go to jail. I'm going to go do some time and do a GED. The judge going to call me stupid and everything. But they didn't understand my mentality. Even though I just messed up my life by getting that X on my back. But I already knew you're going to catch me again anyway. Because what else am I going to go out there to do? In my mind, selling drugs was the only way I could make it in life. Mm-hmm. That was it. Mm-hmm. That's the only way. If I can make some money, then maybe I can do some other things. But right now, that's the only thing. That was my mind. So I took the time to go to jail. And when I went to jail, yeah, I messed around. But I learned how to lift weights, and which helped me out later on in life. And I got my GED, and I did a little college. I did go there to do something. I wasn't just in there for nothing. It was only a 15-month bid. And I remember the old head was telling me, we was playing cards. He was like, yeah, youngin, you got about 3-4 bids in you. I said, man, you tripping. You don't know what you're talking about just because you a crackhead. Or, you know, I judged him. Like, you don't know what you're talking about. Sure enough, he was true to fact. He knew. He looked at me, my elder, and told me, foreseeing my future just like that. But me, stubborn. Mm-hmm. Even though I knew I was going to sell drugs, though, I just thought I could not get caught, you know.
Right.
And the first day I got out, yeah, I was selling drugs. I didn't attempt to look for a job. I didn't care about a job. Mm-hmm. And life was just spiraling, you know. I was just kept trying to dig out a hole with a shovel. Mm-hmm. And I kept going back for little petty drug cases, you know. The last time was, and I called a Fed case in 2000. That's when they really set me down. Cause the first time was only 4 years and then 6 years for 20. But that was getting caught with small amounts of drugs, like 4 grams, little things, nothing major. And never had no violence or nothing. But when the federal people caught me, and this is their system, they gave me 22 years for that same amount of crack. It was only about appeal. I wasn't selling to nobody. I was not doing nothing, no violence, but they laid me down like 22 years. Like, we're going to take you 22. You can't learn this time then. That's what it is. And they had some facts to it, but I understand what they was doing from the system from the beginning, you know? So when they sentenced me that, I felt at first, I felt like they can't be true. They got to be lying. 22 years for this little crap. I ain't killed nobody. I ain't molested no kids. I ain't done nothing.
Right.
For you to say, hey, you got to stay in this box for 22 years. I ain't robbed nobody. I just had this 5 grams of crack in my possession. This is something the government does all day. We don't, the stuff get over here some type of way. This is 5 grams of crack that you caught in my possession. You telling me that cost me 22 years of my life. So at first I felt like it was wasn't fair. They was going, cause they was talking about it in the news is that the law wasn't right. They was admitting it. So mm-hmm. I had hope, but then after that, I just felt like it wasn't the judge who gave me this time. It was God that gave me this time. And God would let me out when I was ready, when he knew I was ready to come out and do what I'm supposed to do. Cause every time I got caught selling drugs, I got caught stupidly. I ain't even gonna lie. It was just like, mm-hmm. you're not supposed to be selling drugs. You know you're not supposed to be selling drugs. Mm-hmm. You know it's not right. You know, I wasn't good at it because I would give it all away type of person. Mm-hmm. So, and God, the way I would get caught would be the stupidest ways. Like, it mm-hmm. would never be my fault. It would be like, how did this happen? My last time I got caught by some federal agents on lunch break. They didn't even know who I was. They just seen, I just looked different.
mm-hmm.
They weren't investigating or nothing. They just wanted to harass me.
Mm-hmm.
And then on lunch break.
Wow.
And I got caught, you know, the first last time. And I was like, you know what? Because I had signs. I had a flat tire that day. I had a few signs telling me not to go that way. And I And I just end up in a parking lot with them because I wasn't even supposed to go there. So simple things like that I reflect on. And they tell me that you weren't supposed to sell drugs anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So that time I had awakened and I was like, God put you here and God gonna let you out when you're ready.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up doing my time and it was a great time. I mean, it was tough going through it, but I came out of it great, you know. And I got out a year early and that's what solidified my sign. Like I ended up getting clemency from Obama. He was giving out and he gave me clemency, but I already did like 17 years. I was going to get out in a year anyway. Mm-hmm. He knocked off a year, but that was my sign. Like, yeah, I made you do all that time. You ready now? There you mm-hmm. go. And mm-hmm. I got out a year early. And then I mm-hmm. just said, you know what? I'm going to Cali. God tell me to go west.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. And for those, right quick, Jamar, what does clemency mean for those who've never heard that phrase?
Obama, clemency is when you get a time reduction or a time cut or just media release. Mm-hmm. It doesn't expunge your background. It's just, that's what was going on with the laws at the time because mm-hmm. the Congress already admitted that the crack law was bogus and they mm-hmm. had a lot of people and stored them in warehouses, nonviolent people, and wasted taxpayer money and didn't have no type of really solution for the crack or cocaine that they brought over here anyway and put in our mm-hmm. communities. And once it exploded, they just said they can lock us up, but then that became a problem too because there's so many of us that the prison population overpopulated. So it was a smart move for them to say, hey, yeah, we did make a mistake. So they end up passing a law after I'd done like 15 years saying that the crack ratio, which was 100-1 versus the cocaine ratio, meaning you got to get caught with damn near a bunch of kilos to be the same sentence as catching 5 grams of crack. That don't make no sense. Mm-hmm. 5 grams of crack against 100 kilos don't make no sense.
Mm-hmm.
So they did that and they fixed that, but they didn't make it retroactive. So the ones in jail who I was already sentenced for that, like my case, I would only got 5 years if I was sentenced under the new law, but I ended up getting 22. They said it doesn't count for you. We can't make it count for you because if that deal, we have to let all y'all go at once and we wouldn't. That's the excuse they know with. But you're saying that you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So you say y'all just died on a sword, you accept it. So Obama did his thing as a president because he couldn't get it retroactive. He gave mm-hmm. a bunch of people clemency, which was to reduce our prison sentence. So let us go and do this and that. So he did it for a few, I don't know what's the number he did, but he gave clemency to a lot of people. Most everybody was drug related or some. It was non-violence, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. he did that.
Mm.
Trump came in and made the law retroactive. So, and I was already out, but yeah, that's how Congress moves, though.
Right.
They see the world, they see us going this wrong way, and they know it's wrong, and they continue to let it go that way for 4, 8, 10, 12 years. Then they'll finally try to change it. And that's how they do us in all type of things.
Wow. Very interesting. So you do your time, and just, and was that, and so you said, so it was very, it sounds like you learned some things while you were in there.
Oh, it was a temple. Yeah, it became my temple, like, even when I was in the whole of situations, because that's when I started writing again, like, in 2005, I was in the hole, which is where it's like solitary. It's like bad inside the jail, like, I don't know where they put you at after solitary. Like, if you mess up in jail, you got to go here. And solitary didn't bother me because I was in the cell by myself. Most of the people, to me, that's great. I was the only child. I never had my own room. I love space. So when you put me in that room by myself, that's when I found myself. And I was in that hole, and I kind of looked at myself, and I couldn't blame, make excuses, or complain because I had to face myself. And that's what happened. I ended up facing myself, and we had a good argument, good fight. We made some good points, but we found myself. And then that's when I started writing again. Right then, I said, I started my first book, and I published that book. I didn't stop. I haven't stopped writing since. And that was in 2005. Like, that gave me a whole different perspective on life. It taught me how to be responsible, you know, it taught me empathy all in that one moment. Like, it was appalling. From there, that's how I did the rest of my time. Like, anywhere, everywhere I went, everybody, that any inmates that was on the compound, know I'm on a strict schedule. I'm going to the typewriter. I'm going to work out. I'm getting ready. That's how I did my time. I'm getting ready. Because at the moment when they gave me 22 years, you know, you look at that and say, man, I'm going to be old. Like, I'm going to have a cane and everything. You look at that, and then, but I looked at it like, what I'm going to do when I get out? I can do the time, but what I'm going to do when I get out? I got to make sure I can do something. And like I said, at a point in time in my life, I thought all I can do was sell drugs. And that's an addiction. People don't realize that, but that's an addiction. Drug dealing is addiction just as well as using drugs. You know, it's a double-edged sword. Both of you and the user are impaled on this sword. And you don't even know. That's why people go back to selling drugs so much. And you can say to yourself, I'm not going back. I'm not. You might got brothers. I'm not going to do it no more. And they end up doing it again because it's an addiction. And then we don't treat that. We don't even acknowledge that. We don't acknowledge that it's an addiction. So that's why to combat that that addiction, you need options. And that's what I came with. I needed options. I knew when I got out, I needed options. That's why when I was in there, I learned how to be a personal trainer. And I got my certification. I said, that's going to be my base. I wrote those books, you know, and I wrote other business plans that I wanted to do. I gave myself options. So when I came out here, I wouldn't have to look to sell drugs to make it no more. I don't never want to sell drugs because now I know that it wasn't right anyway, not because of the law. It's just not morally right. And that's why I kept having to get caught in different situations to show it's not morally right.
Okay, well, Jamar, we're going to pause. We're going to pause because you get out, you move to California. We're going to come back to that. I'm going to take a commercial break, okay? We're going to give a shout out to the sponsor of this episode of Snails and No Shells. We'll be right back.
My Interpretation. Get your copy today.
Just my imagination, or is it just insanity?